Tom Thayer.
I respect Matt Nagy and his visor.
Chicago Bears radio analyst.
There was one time we were playing Tampa short yards goal line. I was in the end zone waiting for Harbaugh to throw me the ball. Instead of throwing the ball, he ran it in. And I go, Jim, you could have padded your stats by throwing me a one-yard pass. He goes, I know, but I thought you'd drop it.
Did you think you had good hands?
I know I did.
41-12.
Look at these things.
1985 Super Bowl champion.
Walter Payton, Mike Ditka, hungry Chicago, finally champions on this January day in New Orleans.
Tom Thayer with Molly and Hall on 670 The Score.
Bears.
Molly and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a joy to talk to the great man himself, Tom Thayer. And, of course, he joins us on the hotline presented by Circa Resort Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Tom, good morning. How are you, sir?
Hey, this ain't no Victory Monday. It's already Wednesday. We're working.
Where you been? Yeah, it's true enough, isn't it? And you're where are you working, Tom? Are you allowed in the building? Are you going to be able to get? I know advanced protocols now for the Bears with the COVID-19 outbreak, including Matt Nagy, who is working distantly. How does this impact Sunday's game?
I don't think it should. You know, they've already had an experience when Matt was in close proximity, so he had to follow the protocol back in the OTAs. And so they had a coach on the field that had a tablet that followed the practice around so he could have an eyewitness account of every drill and, everything that's going on in the practice field. And thanks to the modern-day technology, it may be off-site, but you can still be at practice.
But you're going to lack that presence, Tom, and I think the point of emphasis has got to be reinforced this week if you're Matt Nagy, if you're that coaching staff. But here you are, the Bears, coming off back-to-back bad losses. What is your point of emphasis if you are the head coach, if you are on this coaching staff?
You know, I mean, each defensive coordinator has to approach the attitude of its players that he can address in the individual segment meetings, and the way they prepare out on the field. The first thing I do is I look at how many guys that are going to have a meaningful role in the game miss practice in the injury report. And if it's significant enough, you have to have the guys in a backup role practice at a level in which you expect them to play at because they should be fresher and they need to be mentally, physically ready to go if their number is called. And if the guys that are just having a veteran day off or whatever you want to call it these days, you better be attentive. You better be paying attention in the meetings and on the practice field. And, you know, you have to be ready to play. And, you know, it's even, you know, the disappointing thing about evaluating the tape of the game against Tampa is, you know, you take notes in every single play. And it's, you know, I have from this week specifically, there's more negative notes than there are positive notes. And so you got to get those corrected. And whether it's, defensively, the way you approach your responsibility when it comes time to make a tackle or how you take on a double team or what you see as a defensive back from, you know, trying to break down information during Brady's cadence. And then offensively, the different elements of improvement that you can make from watching tape and things that you should be doing better at this point. So, the challenge and the chance to improve never stops. So, I mean, if you go out there and you said, oh, we beat Tampa by 20, we think we played a perfect game, you really didn't. There's always elements of improvement. And so, the coach has got to be strict. The players have to have thick skin. You have to address these things with accountability. So, from what they did Sunday night to what they're going to do on Wednesday afternoon, there's got to be improvement already.
Tom, along those lines, you saw Bilal Nichols get thrown out for throwing a punch. That is the third guy thrown out for throwing a punch in 2 years. That is the fifth guy thrown out of a game in 4 years and under Matt Nagy. And I just don't understand that lack of discipline where a guy could get thrown out, how you're letting down your teammates. You know, they had various guys out. And, you know, I like Bilal Nichols, but I can't help but think that had they dealt with Javon Wims the first time it happened, it would not have happened two more times. I just wonder about the discipline of this group.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. You know, go to Mario Edwards Jr. over the last couple of weeks when he's had those after, you know, dead ball fouls, you know, taunting and all those types of things. You would think that the message would be sent clearly enough to this group of guys that it's you know, all those after-the-whistle penalties are unacceptable. But the thing that bothers me is you go back, I think it might have been the second play of the game where Ryan Jensen was blocking Eddie Goldman, and he just plays – you know, to that, you know, to the end of the whistle, and then the defensive players take offense to it, and then they react. But then put yourself in a better not a fighting position. I don't mean that. I mean a defensive position where you're challenging the offensive line at the point of attack and at or near the line of scrimmage, so you're not getting pushed 3 or 4 or 5 yards downfield. You know, everybody knows coming into the game. What, and listen, I admire Ryan Jensen, the Tampa Bay center, because this guy is a real instigator of that aggressive approach that you want in every offensive lineman. I wish every Bears offensive lineman had it. So to take offense to a guy that's just working hard is inexcusable. And I never thought Bilal Nichols would be that guy that would throw the punch in the aftermath and then get, you know, thrown out because of it. Because here's a guy that he really had a solid training camp. He plays well. He does what it's ever asked of him. And then I think when he shows a lack of discipline, does it feel like it's okay for the next guy to show that lack of discipline? And it's not acceptable. And to sit there and say, oh, we addressed it in a team meeting, it's just not good enough. And so if you're going to sit here and you want the best players on the field for the whole game, then it's up to them to either play better in their role of that specific play, or, you know, you have to, you know, hold these guys up to a higher standard of discipline and you know, make sure they're just playing better on the field.
Tom, I love that Justin Fields came into the post-game media conference in his pads and he was ready to talk and he wanted to go first. Didn't like so much his demeanor on the sidelines where he was obviously looked a little bit frustrated, bewildered, disengaged, whatever you want to use to describe that. But let's face it, he's going to be evaluated by what he does mostly on the field. Where are you with what he has done on the field and what he needs to do better?
Well, you know, I think when they made the commitment to go to Justin Fields, you're going to have to put up with the bad until he grows through that, you know, goes through this growing process, and he's be able to filter every information from the time he calls the play in the huddle, going to the line of scrimmage, evaluate what he's seeing, and have a better understanding of how to go about your business. And there's so much information that you have to filter within that 40 seconds in order to get the play right. You know, it's everything of the coach's obligation to put him in a more positive position at the line of scrimmage and make sure everybody has an understanding of their specific assignments to protect Justin, to put him in a position where he can take the center quarterback exchange, whether directly underneath or in a shotgun, be able to set his feet and do a proper evaluation downfield of where the ball should go. To me, if you're putting him in a position where the opponent knows the snap count and every shotgun snap you go through in that type of environment, or you become susceptible to sending blitzers at him and the guys aren't in position to pick him up. You know, Justin's almost in a no-win scenario at this point, and it's unfortunate. So to me, you know, it's tough to put all the responsibility on Justin to be the guy that makes all the corrections. It's during the process of the week. On Wednesday, if you're installing the run game, Thursday you're installing the passing game, Friday is short yardage and goal line, you better make sure that when you're installing new information or you're rehashing old information that's been put in since training camp, you better make sure everybody's on the same page about their responsibilities. And I think it's a full team, including the coaches, effort in order to put Justin in the most confident position you can put him in. And so I think that's going to be what we're going to face the whole season, as long as Justin's behind center, because every one of these opponents studies not only the last three games, they study every snap Justin has played, you know, depending upon the down and distance, where they are on the field, and they see where his vulnerabilities lie and where his teammates' vulnerabilities lie, and they take advantage of it. So you got to help him out, man. You got to develop a more efficient snap count and shotgun, and you have to make sure that everybody understands their blitz pickup responsibilities. And if you don't do that, you're going to put him in harm's way, and you're going to make him an avoidance quarterback at this point of his career, rather than being an aggressive quarterback at this point in his career.
And in light of that, in light of all the players that have had to come in and out on the offensive line, and hopefully more on the way, but you wonder how would I put this? You wonder if, in his heart of hearts, Matt Nagy really wants to start this quarterback. And I think that was underscored yesterday when we heard from Allen Robinson, and he talked about how none of the receivers, none of the main weapons in the offense, had a lot of time with Justin Fields in training camp. And if you think about it, if Dalton doesn't get hurt, if you're not going a game and a half with Andy Dalton, there's no way that you would have, if you had known that, you would have played Justin Fields with those guys a lot more. You would have tried to develop some kind of chemistry. Clearly, Nagy is kind of in a trick box now and can't really take his quarterback out. Do you believe that he would if he could?
Well, if you don't want to, then don't play him. I mean, there's no secret to it. I just think if that you don't feel that through your evaluation process and the way you listen to Justin filter information that you're putting into his helmet to call the play, and if he doesn't know exactly what his responsibilities are, even though the defense is moving around a little bit, and then that's telling you all you need to know. And I know you listen to all these different opinions of all the people around the NFL landscape. Oh, you got to play him to get his experience, or you can't play him yet because you guys are, as coaches, you know exactly what you're telling him every single time in his helmet, whether it's on the practice field or on the game field. And if he's not running the game plan according to making this offense as efficient as possible, then that you have that right to make a change. And if Andy Dalton didn't get hurt, and if the chemistry that he developed with Allen Robinson and Darnell Mooney and Marquise Goodwin in the tight end position, then maybe you have to explore that opportunity, because you don't want to, you know, put Justin in a position where the defense can attack him so viciously. You know, there's a chance that he could get hurt, because I do not want to see that by this young man, because I believe he's got a super bright future. But I think quarterback is one position you can't put out there with a lack of knowledge. If you, it's a phrase I always repeat, if you think you're beat, and if you come up and you break the huddle every single time and you go, man, what did I just say? And, you know, how does this factor in the protection that I see? Now they're overloaded to one side. Do I have enough blockers over there? You know, the first blitz they brought the other day, Khalil Herbert was lined up to the right of the quarterback. His responsibility was to the far left of the quarterback. There is no way, when you talk about the timing of the snap, that he's going to be able to make his way after the flight of the snap in the front of the quarterback to the opposite side and pick up a blitzer that's going to have no factor in disrupting the timing of the play. So, you know, there's a lot of pieces to that correction that have to be put in place to make sure Justin has the time to, you know, incorporate what he just said in the huddle.
Tom, you're the best. Thank you, buddy. Great catching up.
Thanks, Tom.
All right, you guys. See you later.
That is Tom Thayer.